We had a sermon planned on that scripture that our choir has already experienced this morning. I'm sorry. The sermon was going to be about hell and damnation until I realized that my wife walked here this morning because I drove here with the car seat. So today's sermon will be about grace. Oh, man. Just breathe. There's a word I want to use, and it's a word for a person who's not nice and not smart, but I can't use it here. And so we'll refer to that person as an Aggie. I asked for forgiveness before that one. Bless their little hearts is passive aggressive religious prime rib. For those of you who aren't familiar with this phrase, Urban Dictionary defines this as when a person who is an Aggie, but you don't want to let them know what you really think about them. See what I did there? Substituted a word in there. Okay. Bless their little hearts. Some of you, our guests, are here, and you're sitting in someone's seat right now that they've been working their cheeks into for a little while, and someone's mad at you about that right now, and what they're saying to you underneath their skin is, bless their little hearts. We're going to celebrate the table today, and it's going to be really beautiful. And inevitably, and understandably, someone's going to come forward and grab the cup and try to chug it. And you just need to know that there's going to be about 50 people behind you thinking, bless their little hearts, they don't know. Haiti is a place that's very important to my wife and I. And as you know, it's just a beautiful beautiful as anywhere as I've been in the world, yet it's also wild. Traffic, crossing the street there is the real-life version of the video game Frogger. Over the years, Haiti has been unfortunate in facing awful weather, awful trade practices with the international community, and just some really terrible luck has prevented this country from becoming a self-sufficient eco-agro system, and I love it. So next week, we're going to go. Amen. We're all going to go. Is that okay? All right. Our college students are like, I'm going. My first time, we landed in Port-au-Prince, and we're herded like cows through this thing that they kind of call an airport, and then we get in a van, because all Christians travel in a van, and we're on this really busy street that doesn't have sidewalks. It's like chain-link fence on the side, and walking in the gutter is a young man wearing a T-shirt of an event that I had been to in Richmond, Virginia the year before. See, of all the things that stands out to me in Haiti, it's the T-shirts. My friends who have lived in other cultures told me about when the 2018 Super Bowl champion New England Patriot T-shirts and hats showed up, or when the 2018 Cleveland Cavalier swag showed up. You all are educated. You don't waste your life watching these inferior sports, I know. So let me tell you, the New England Patriots didn't win the 2018 Super Bowl, and the Cavs didn't win the 2018 NBA Championship. These shirts were pre-printed, and instantaneously, when they lost, they were out of date and thus sent to other countries and other people who did not know better, nor did they care. Bless their little hearts. My friend ran a community center and had this massive clothes drive, and he told me it was going really well, but he was out of it. He was no longer going to do this part of the ministry. And I said, why? And he said, come by tomorrow morning. So this community center, which was centered between a small bar that allowed smoking and a mercado that processed meats, which, you know, both of those things put out a wonderful smell. I walked into this community center and became nauseated at the smell. And it wasn't smoke. And it wasn't meat, but it and it was dirty laundry. Our church right now is doing a drive for pantry items, for underwear, and for socks to go to students at a local school, nonetheless, just right down the street here. If you wear whitey tidies that are $5 for $2, God bless you. And you can donate these items, and we're going to give them joyfully to the schools here. Or if you wear $20 a pair underwear that you get from the sporting goods store that wicks moisture and is like antifungal, and supposedly you can wear it for 3 days on end without washing it, first of all, how's it going? Second of all, do you have any friends? Asking for someone else. If that's the type of underwear that you buy, then I would hope you donate that level of underwear. If you wear Hanes or Fruit of the Loom tube socks, you know what I'm talking about. I'm seeing some dudes right now who are rocking those. You can donate those. For those of you who are considering marriage, I used to have those socks. I used to have a favorite t-shirt that had holes in it. They're now in the garbage. This is what happens when you get married. So today, okay, this is what marriage has done to me, and I'm thankful for it. Okay, all my favorite socks are in the trash. If you wear cheap socks, you can donate cheap socks. If you wear nice socks, like I get for Christmas, I would hope that you donate nice socks. I remember the first night I went to my friend's house, and he had this thing called Oreos, and I ate one. I lied. I ate a whole row. It was amazing, because at my house, we didn't have Oreos. We had Choco Round Cream Sandwiches. All right? And so I was so pumped to learn about Oreos, I was going to go back to my family and tell them, guys, there's this thing called Oreos. We should get some. And so for the rest of my life, we had Choco Round Cream Sandwiches. And if you eat Choco Round Cream Sandwiches, you want to donate those to the kids in our neighborhood, we're going to give them to them. But if you're one of the few, the lucky, the chosen, if you're an Oreo family, I hope you would donate Oreos. We deserve to give the best. We deserve to give the things that are suitable for us to our neighbors, to our friends, and to the students in the schools. My friend who ran the community center shut down the clothes ministry, and the next year started a one-on-one program where if you're a kid, we'll buy you a brand new coat. Or if you're in need of a shirt, shirt and a tie, you got a job interview, we'll buy you the nicest one that you can wear. FYI, Allison comes from an Oreo family, so there's that. In Haiti, one of the things that happened as we were working with these men and we had hired some help and we were working with some volunteers from the church, we were chiseling out cinder blocks and setting them down in a pile so that they could be used later. We didn't demo a roof. We took it apart and then organized it. And in our next trip back, the materials had already been used. It was the most difficult yet beautiful labor I had been a part of. And lunch was very important. Burning these calories, and we would break for lunch, and all the gringos would eat sandwiches that we had brought, but the Haitians got to eat street food that Anthony Bourdain would celebrate, and I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to eat it, but legend of the previous pastor who ate the street food made a risk-reward scenario in which my colon could not handle had I lost that battle. And we would have conversations with our friends from Haiti over lunch. And one of the fun things was some of the guys that we were working with, some of the Haitians, had on T-shirts representing the universities of some of the schools that my guys had come from. And so they would talk about, hey, you know, do this, you know, and that represents the school. And then we would tell the Christians to do this, you know, if you're a real Christian, you'll do this. We might, you know, one of the favorite interchanges that happened between a translator, one of the guys was asking another guy, one of our Americans was asking a Haitian who was wearing a shirt representing the school that he used to go to, He asked him about like what his favorite things in life were. They kind of struck up a little relationship. And he asked him, one of the things he asked him is, what's your favorite food? Through a translator. And the Haitian responded, and the translator repeated, he says, I don't have a favorite food, but I give thanks to God for a full meal today. Bless their little hearts. And as we were working, many of the children would come by trying to score like a melted granola bar. They might like pick up a rock and put it in the pile and then take that same rock out of the pile to make sure that we saw them, put it into the pile. They try to score a granola bar, these like Kool-Aid bags or like sandwich plastic bags. Not quite Capri Sun, but you just bite the corner off and suck it down. And they would come by and say, you, and point at us and just trying to score some attention. And one of the moments in my life that I'll never forget was when one of the kiddos came up to me and said, you, and I put down my five-gallon bucket of rocks. Wasn't full, but it was a five-gallon bucket. I put it down and I looked up. And the most awful words in the English language were printed on this young man's shirt. And I didn't know what to do. And part of me, just being honest, wanted to laugh. Part of me wanted to scream, oh no, oh no. And part of me just wanted to weep. Bless their little hearts. In Mark 10, verse 13, the children are coming towards Jesus and the disciples rebuke them and keep them away. And I wonder, in their own way, were the disciples thinking, bless their little hearts. And in the next verse, we read that Jesus is indignant. When's the last time you were indignant? I'll be honest, I've never used this word in my entire life. In Greek, this is a compound word of much or again or grief, affliction. Indignant is much grief or again, affliction. I think one translation for the word indignant is not sure whether or not you should laugh at the tragedy, scream at the injustice, or break down and weep. The children had been turned away, and Jesus was indignant. Bless their little hearts. The text continues that an indignant Jesus says, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like the children will never enter it." Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola in their book translate this, the end of this verse, and they say, their translation says, "Grown-ups are not allowed in the kingdom of God." And all the people said, uh-oh. Grown-ups are not allowed in the kingdom of God. And all the children said, yes. Children, are you saying yes? Yes. All right, we'll work on the hand motion later. And I'd like to offer a description as to what maybe a grown-up is. The Roman army at this point is occupying Palestine and Israel. And although the Jews were allowed to practice their faith in Jerusalem at the temple, the Romans had built a fort that stood above it and over it. And if we were in the temple during that time, we might look up to see the bell tower, but what we would really see is above the bell tower is the Roman fort. The area had been occupied. Many of the men of this day owned slaves and oppressed slaves, owned women, multiple women, and had multiple wives. I think what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is not for occupiers, for owners, or for operators. The kingdom of God is for those whose first identity is children of God. Grown-ups are not allowed. Owners, occupiers, operators, cannot enter into the kingdom of God because they built their own kingdom in which they're entering into. Second, I think grown-ups means a person who's got it all figured out. Now, our daughter is special. She's the greatest of all time, so you might not be able to relate to this story. But when we gave her all these incredible first birthday gifts a few weeks ago, she didn't care about any of them. I know it's hard to imagine. But what she got that was amazing was tissue paper. It crinkles and tastes good. And like when you drop it, it kind of like floats. You see, adults have it all figured out. Children don't need more toys. They need a cardboard box. Adults know everything that there is to know. Grown-ups know everything that there is to know. Children live with wonder. Grace is amazing. The grace of God is tissue paper. It crinkles and floats. It captivates our attention. The grace of God is setting the captives free, is educating the children, is healing the addicts, is healing the sick. The grace of God is clothing the naked, and we don't deserve any of it. We're simply amazed by it. Grown-ups are not allowed in the kingdom of God. But those whose first identity is a child of God who lives in wonder and awe of God's grace are welcome. And Jesus says, these are those who the kingdom of God belongs to. And so I have some questions. Who does the world belong to? Who does our country belong to? Who does our city belong to? Who does our church belong to? Maybe the biggest part of our facility should be a playground. If a church were to believe that the kingdom of God belongs to the children, then I don't think a church should ever have to ask for volunteers in the kids' ministry. Who does our church belong to? If a city belonged to the children of God as it should, then I don't think we should ever have to ask for underwear or socks or pantry items to go home with children. My friends, my brothers and sisters, you belong. You belong in the kingdom of God because what is most true about each of you is that you are a child beloved of God. Grown-ups are not allowed. Owners and occupiers and operators have their own kingdoms. Adults who have everything figured out and do not turn to wonder need not a Savior. But each of you are saved by amazing grace. Each of you, first and foremost, are a child of God. You're wild, you're stinky, you're sticky all the time. You are a child of God. And bless your little heart. Let's pray together. This is your world, O God. Your grace crinkles, bursts forth from the gift. Your grace floats into our presence, and we're amazed by it. For those of us who are 100 years old, we are your children. For those of us entering Social Security, we are your children. For boomers and millennials and builders and IY, we are your children, first and foremost. For those who are merely an idea in their parents' minds, are your children. Nothing is beyond your grace and your hands. Your kingdom is full of joy, of laughter, of play, of wonder. Your kingdom welcomes all who will receive your love and be called your child. We are reminded of that this morning, and we are challenged to live lives that share the joy and the invitation of being your children. We pray this in the name of the Creator, the Mother, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Prince of Peace. Amen.